This is an ABC podcast. Resorts, homes and a newly built hospital have been washed away.
I'm just holding on for dear life here. This isn't fun.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Save what for dream.
You must ready.
Helping your community.
Helping your family.
Helping you.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Bulabinaka, I'm Josiah Nanunga, based in Fiji.
Hi, I'm Fred Hooper, based in Australia.
And this is Pacific Prepared. This show aims to interweave traditional knowledge and climate change, helping you to be ready for any disaster.
Through stories and Talanoa from the Pacifica.
On today's show, the risk of being relocated is on the cards for Wunikondi Village in the province of Maduata.
Also, getting the most essential of things for living is becoming harder and harder for one Papua New Guinea island. And getting that fresh perspective, sometimes it's the thing that can make all the difference. We'll meet someone from Solomon Islands who is giving this perspective on climate change.
That's all coming up. This is Pacific Prepared.
I'm just holding on for dear life here.
For women, it's always safety first. They are the first responder.
You're listening to Pacific Prepared.
Imagine being in a village on a Monday morning. But when you set foot there, the village elders tell you it's actually a Sunday.
Joe, I don't understand this. What do you mean? What's happening here?
Well, Fred, it's because of the international dateline. So the international dateline runs across or runs through this particular village in the northern part of Fiji.
So which village are we actually talking about here, Joe?
Fred, today we are visiting Wunikondi Village. Wunikondi Village, it's located in the district of Undu. That's in the province of Maduata, one of the 14 provinces in Fiji. And that is right in the far northern part of Fiji. I know you've been to Lambasa before. So
yes.
This particular village is in the remote coastal part of the province. So there are five villages under the district, and one of the villages is Nukundamu. So it's already been relocated, and the remaining four, three are at risk. And one of the three is Wunikondi Village. Unless something changes, Wunikondi Village may face the same fate. Let's hear from the chief of Undu.
Naka, Bulabinaka to everyone. First of all, I'd like to give a big winaka wakalevu to ABC, Australian Broadcasting Commission, to choose our koro, to be one of the chosen one to be broadcast along this program, this week. I'm the chief of the village, the Wusaf Ndokane Suba, which consists of three villages. Wunikondi, Nukundamu, and Nambuwono. And chief of the Tikina of Undu, which consists of the other two villages, which is Nukusa and Dawaro. My mainly role here is to look after the Tikina, which consists of the five villages.
The district of Undu, there a total of five villages, and the villages are Wunikondi, Nambuwono, Nukundamu, Nukusa, and Dawaro. Nukundamu is one of the villages in Fiji that have been relocated. Mr. Wanganibalu, can you just talk about the relocation process and what actually transpired or what actually led to, you know, to the village elders of Nukundamu to come to an agreement to finally relocate?
Naka, Nukundamu is located near the coastline. Due to this change in weather, the climate change, they start to notice the eradication of their shoreline. and the coming up of the waves, which really concerned to them. So they brought it up. It goes through the Mbosini Tikina. It goes through the Mbosini Yasana, the provincial level. And we are really happy that they got the assistance from the government to relocate them to their new Koro, which is their new site now. The thing is that we actually do feel and see the current climate change, what actually happens along our coral, our coastal line. Coming up of the waves and the eradication of the soil. As I've said, Nukundamu was one of the village that they feel it along the Tikina, and we are happy that they got the assistance and now they are relocated. Thank you.
What about the other villages? Are they also feeling the same impacts? Or just talk about the impacts of some of the recent natural disasters or natural hazards.
For the other four villages, actually the location of the village is far more higher from the sea. So they don't feel that effect right now. But as like our village here at Wunikondi, if you can see, is the second one, is the only one, is the second one too that will feel the change in climate change. If you can see, we are very close and our village is very low with the sea level. Yeah, we will also feel it sometimes. Maybe when times comes and we feel that it is a concern to us, then we'll follow the same process to ask the government if we can have a relocation or we have a seawall.
In our informal Talanoa discussion before this recording, even though Bonoliabu has felt the severe and devastating impacts of Tropical Cyclone Yasa in 2019, even T.C. Winston in 2016, but the village is still dubbed T.C. Emmy way back in 2003 as the most severe and devastating tropical cyclone that villages here in Wunikondi have ever felt. If you can recall during that moment, what actually happened before, during, and after Tropical Cyclone Emmy in 2003?
Actually, in 2003, during the hurricane time, I was not at the Koro, but I was at Kandabu that time. But I was listening to the radio one afternoon. So it was broadcasting that the Hurricane Mamie is now going on at Wunikondi. So it was about midnight when I was listening to the radio, the broadcast cut off. And that time, the post for our communication, the thing fell down. So the next morning, when we called, we heard that most of the house have been damaged, our church have been damaged, and this Koro was really, really feel the devastating of the strong Hurricane Emmy that was in 2003.
So I believe the villages have learned so much, learned some good lessons from after the T.C. Emmy encounter in 2003. What about right now, any disaster preparedness plan or evacuation plan to ensure that villages, even for those who the elderly and those who are physically challenged on the need to be assisted in times of disaster?
Okay, yeah, we do have our plan at the moment. The plan that goes together with those people in the rural areas with CND. We work closely with them. So we had our own team, disaster team, the committee at the village, which is head by the Turangani Koro. We had our Matani Tikina. We had our village nest, our weathermen, and the youth of the Koro. These are all in the committee, the disaster committee. So in times of disaster, we had our arrangement how to deal with all those handicaps, the elderly in the village. So we got our evacuation center, our Valewa Koro. So in that, first we have to move. We have to move all the elderly and the, like here we don't have anybody who is disability. So we have some elderly people, so we move them to Ovalevakoro. So we took note of all the numbers of the people who are in the evacuation center, and every 1 hour we give our report to CND people in Lambasa. Yeah. So that's how we do our preparedness for any disaster.
Mr. Chosea, before we wrap up our chit-chat, our Talanoa this morning, any other information you wish to add or for, the people of Undu who might be listening in right now from other, parts of Australia or in the region, any key message from the Wanua, the five villages in the district of Undu?
Naka, for all those the people of Undu staying abroad, like locally in Lambasa, Suva, and those in the Pacific, and those who are staying abroad in overseas. I think the people of Undu need you people. First of all, before that, I want to thank you for all those things that you've done to the village through your good help, the donation that you give in times of disaster for all these previous years. But in case that anything come again in terms of disaster and all those things, I think we really do need your help in terms of financial, of technology, on helping us in writing letters and all those things, so that you can help us in our need in time of disaster.
Mr. Chosea Wanganibalu, Pinakabakalibu, thank you so much for your time.
Nawalu.
The time to prepare is now, not right before an emergency.
No electricity, nothing whatsoever. You are listening to Pacific Prepared.
A short 30-minute boat ride from Port Moresby in Papua New Guinea, and you can find yourself on Fisherman Island, also known as Dago Island.
It's estimated that around 1,000 people live on Fisherman Island, and for many generations, water has been taken to the island.
This is still happening now, but in more recent years, the cost has sort of crept up, making it more and more difficult for people to have access to water.
So Papua New Guinea freelance journalist and Pacific Prepared reporter Ben Kidoga visited Fisherman Island recently and has this story.
I'm at Rikiriki, a small section on Dago Island, otherwise also popularly known as Fisherman Island. We are here sitting next to a house which is just a few meters away from the shoreline. And I tell you, you can just smell the sea, feel the natural breeze, and also hear the waves breaking on the shore on this sunny afternoon. And seated with me in a circle are some of the villagers, and they are explaining how difficult it has become to get fresh water for their community.
The system of having water or cutting water across this island, it's the same old thing since our forefathers came to Lisa. From day one up until now, it's like this. When the seasons change, southeasterly winds come, rain comes. But it's according to, about 1 or 2 months, then the rainy season finishes. Then the rest of the months, it's dry. Dry and windy. When the change of wind takes place. Like this is now, southeast winds. When southwest winds come, during that time, rain comes. So we get help from the heavens. But for us, living on an island, it's a very extensive thing. Getting water from the mainland, it's a very expensive job. We pay 40 to 50 kina every day to fill all our containers. At the same time, we buy 100 kina petrol, we get across to the mainland and then come back. It's a very expensive here. Thing to do, and we struggle. For boil water and other sources came to, you may find water on this island. They weren't very successful. There was most of this water drilled and was found that was salty, so they could do nothing. But only thing to help us is if a pipe, water pipe, should be run from the mainland to this island, then it will ease the problem of water on this island. Yes. But it will also have effects on the island. Like when other coastal villages hear that there's a water on the island, they'll be coming to the island, Ventura. So it will create more problems for the island.
So from the woman's perspective, when it comes to water, because, you know, old mama on Boss Block Kitchen, you know, and that's where most of the water goes to. Things like that. As a woman leader and as a mother yourself, how does that make you feel?
No, we have
She's saying water, the use of water on the island is very useful because we use water for so many things, for cooking, and that same water that we drink and we cook our food, we used it on washing our clothes. There's no other water that we can get, you know. But that same container or two containers that we buy from the retailers, we use them like that. For washing clothes for our babies, for working baby, men, and washing ourselves as well, yeah. Using it for cooking, washing plates, clothes, all those. So the water is a very important role on this island.
Thanks to Pacific Prepared reporter and freelance journalist Ben Cadoga for that story.
Disaster is part of our life, and recovering is also part of our life.
As you see, they're smiling despite the devastation. That's how we are.
You are listening to Pacific Prepared.
Thank you for listening to Pacific Prepared. Fred, as I've mentioned earlier during the program, that we are currently in Madhuata, and I'm traveling along with my former colleague from the Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, but we are working closely together with for the Ethiopia and the Fijian version of Pacific Prepared. It's called Lingabata Nena Manikuitaki. Meliki Langi from Radio Fiji 1. Meliki, welcome to the show Pacific Prepared this week. It's always an absolute pleasure to be working alongside with you, putting together and generating content, having a talanoa and a discussion with vulnerable community members who are affected by the impacts of climate change and hearing their stories about dealing with some of the worst disasters over the past few years. How has been the experience like for you?
Mbulevenaka Cho, mbulevenaka listeners, mbulevenaka Fred, a big venaka vakalevu to ABC Pacific Prepared for working with Radio Fiji 1. Yes, we are in the beautiful island of Nolevu, the Mbamba Singa, Mbula Sia, as they always greet ourselves. And the weather is beautiful, and as it is known, the friendly north of Fiji. And like we always say, different villages, they have different stories. And we are so thankful. We are so lucky that hearing these stories and seeing with our own eyes what they go through every day in regards to climate change. Most of them, they say climate change is real. Most of them, they wait for support. But most of them, they are doing with whatever they have to control or to protect themselves and the villages from the from climate change.
I remember when we went to Vunikondi village, even though it was Monday, when we set foot on the village elders told us that it's actually Sunday for them because the international dateline runs through the village of Vunikondi. And I was amazed. I was pleased to hear some feedback from the village, especially the village Turanganikoro, who... Well,
We never told him about the program. He came forward and told us, is this a duo from that program on Radio Fiji One? It's quite interesting to hear the feedback from the villagers, isn't it?
Of course, Cho. The Turani Koro, he just saw us. We didn't introduce ourselves. He introduced ourselves because hearing us and seeing us on TV and on radio, and we are so glad, yes. He told us that he follows us wherever we go for collecting information. And he said by listening to the radio and listening to the program, like they get informations on what they do from other people, from other villages, yeah. Just by listening to Lingavat and then the Manikuitaki on Radio Fiji One. And we are so glad that they go day by day with whatever they have. They are far from the city, but they go to the sea, they go to the land, they do plantations, they send their children to nearby schools for everyday living.
And that is a clear testament that the program itself is already making waves. It's already an agent of change and creating an impact for the villagers about the need to, you know, to be proactive in dealing with the impacts of climate change, rising sea level, coastal erosion, coastal inundation, and even the need to be disaster ready at all times. It doesn't mean that we should be disaster ready during cyclone season, cyclone period. We need to be disaster ready all throughout the year because climate change is already evidence in most low-lying Pacific Island nations. Maliki, do you look forward to more trips coming up over the next few months?
Yes, of course, Cho, because most of the places we haven't seen, we have just heard about it. And during these trips, we are able to set foot on those places and see what people do for their everyday living.
And that's all from us in Lambasa, the province of Madhuwata. Maliki, Vinakapakalebu, thank you so much for your time.
Navalebu, Cho.
Disaster is part of our life, and recovering is also part of our life.
As you see, they're smiling despite the devastation. That's how we are.
You are listening to Pacific Prepare.
Majority of the time, experience and age play a key role in decision-making. But I wonder if there's ever a time to flip that thinking and bring in a different perspective altogether. For example, on the issue of climate change.
Roy Wazi from Solomon Islands has been named as the Youth Ambassador for World Vision, and the impacts of climate change is something that he feels really strongly about.
The Woolly News journalist and Pacific Prepared reporter, Mr. Jeremy Guo, caught up with Roy and has this story.
Hello, my name is Roy Wazi, and I come from the beautiful Malaita province, Solomon Islands. I do attended University of South Pacific here in the Solomon Islands, study of biology and computer studies.
Now, looking at your journey, you just name, or people might don't know it yet, but Roy just named the Solomon Islands Ambassador for World Vision. Wow, that's amazing. Now, looking back, take us through your journey. How's that start for you? Especially you pick a good topic, which is one of the biggest talk of the region, not only in the region, but for Solomon Islands as well. Now, taking big stories like that, going into bigger stage.
I started like when I was when I was in high school, yeah. So it was way back in 2019. That's where Solomon Island or World Vision came in my community. And then I was the youngest one, like, you know, sitting with the elderly people. For me, climate change, it's like from there, it's my first ever, like, knowing that, you know, what's mean about the climate change. I started to, getting involved with Solomon Island World Vision. So they're asking me a few questions about like the climate change, how people doing things like in time of disasters and stuff. So that's where I like, for me personally, I started to know about climate change as well. And as well, it's not here in the Solomon Islands, but it's all over the Pacific, like the same situation that we face here in the Solomon. I believe that many, many small island nations were being affected by the climate change. I'm really passionate about what's all about the climate change, and being one of the change maker here in the Solomon Islands, and I'm super, super proud of it. Like, climate change, it's like one of the biggest whatever I come across in my life. And like, from where I started, the word, it's very new to me until I started working with the Solomon Island World Vision, and I started to getting know about what's all about the climate and what's affecting us, most country in the Pacific. Like, for me, climate change is, it's not like a political issues like around, you know, like many countries talking about like climate change, it's like politics and stuff. But here in the Solomon Islands, and I believe here in the Pacific, it's something that it's lived with us. It's, you know, it's lived with us. Everything that we do, it's all about like, you know, we've been impacted by those climate change. And when you talk about climate change here, like, it's often happening, you know, like from the past. Now it's very like happening like often, days and days. Like, you know, as we're experiencing, like just 2 weeks ago, you know, like flood happening around the streets, you know, and then it leads to something like all of our public buses, they didn't like go to work. And you just like imagine like how would like children going to school, you know? Yeah, how children going to school, because we are depending mainly on public transport, and like accessing the roads were like full of floods. So people cannot, you know, enjoying the life, you know. In my community, like we used to like, you know, going out, spend time with like families and friends, like going to my uncle's house, go and, you know, meet some friends, telling stories and stuff. And, you know, when it comes to the climate change, it's very like impacting us. Like, you know, people have to, you know, they cannot moving around, yeah. And it's very impacting, like affecting our people and the society as well.
What's your plan? Are you ready to leave your home? Plan now before disaster strikes. Pacific Prepared.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Pacific Prepared. Joe, thank you to you for getting up early and recording with us today. And
yeah,
obviously you're on the road.
No, it's you.
Yeah.
It's you. Who should I be thankful for waking up early? I know it's 8 early. O'clock here in Fiji, but yeah, it's too early for you.
And thank you to Maliki Lange as well from FBC for her contributions.
Inaka, Maliki.
Exactly. Yeah, to the Etoke version of Pacific Prepared as well. So it's great. Much appreciated. Thanks, Joe. Enjoy the rest of your trip.
You're most welcome, Fred, and I look forward to the many more places that we intend to visit over the next few days and before we return back to Suva. So I'll talk to you again next week, same time, same place. Until then, vinaka pakalebu, goodbye, and stay safe.
Vinaka, Joe, thank you. This show was made on the lands of the peoples of Stony Creek Nation in Lutruwita, Tasmania. Also the people of the Vanua Uviti. Pacific Prepared is supported with funding from the Australian Government's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Any views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the Australian Government. It's produced and distributed in partnership with Radio Australia and networks across the Pacific, including Radio New Zealand Pacific, National Broadcasting Corporation of Papua New Guinea, Palau Wave Radio, Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, Samoa National Radio 2AP, Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, and Tonga Broadcasting Commission. My name's Fred Hooper, and thanks to my co-host in Fiji, Josina Nunga. Please share any information you've learned today, and stay safe. This has been Pacific Prepared.
In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favourite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.